Behind the Knife, the surgery podcast. Relevant and engaging content designed to help you dominate the day.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another HVD episode on Behind the Knife. This is your HVD team at the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston. I'm Anish, a T32 fellow here at MD Anderson, and I'm excited to be joined again by my mentors, Dr. Tim Newhook, the Associate PD of our HVB Fellowship, and Dr. Jean-Nicolas Vautet, our HVB Section Chief. Today, we're going to be discussing circulating tumor DNA, more commonly referred to as ctDNA, which has emerged as an attractive and potentially highly sensitive biomarker for patients with colorectal cancer. Additionally, we'll review two articles investigating the use of ctDNA in the management of patients with colorectal liver metastasis. Before we get into the articles, Dr. Newhook, could you give us the basics of what ctDNA is and its current role in management of colorectal cancer?
Well, thanks again for having us, Anish, and for putting this together. So it's a great opportunity to discuss something that we really believe is important and a special passion of mine, which is investigating the use of ctDNA for these patients. The role of ctDNA in the care of colorectal cancer is a pretty broad question because obviously it depends on stages and there's various applications over this novel biomarker. So I think we'll focus our talk primarily on colorectal liver metastases, which is what Dr. Vautet and I take care of. But circulating tumor DNA, as I like to explain to patients, is trying to detect a clue that there's still cancer in a patient's body at times when we cannot see cancer or when we're trying to have a dynamic biomarker of treatment response, for example. But essentially, it's detecting the DNA that's floating around in your blood and detecting the tumor's specific DNA and discerning that from normal cellular DNA that's floating around in your blood. So essentially, it's searching for a needle in a stack of needles, so to speak. And over time, different tests have become much more sensitive at detecting that needle in the needle stack, so to speak. And that's kind of revolutionized the use of circulating tumor DNA in the blood. So just to go over that a little bit more in depth, everybody has a lot of DNA floating around in their blood, and that's called cell-free DNA. And a small proportion of that for patients with cancer can have particular mutational profiles that match their cancer. And that's what they're trying to detect, is a signal that there's a cancer DNA floating around in their blood that's discernible from normal cell-free DNA. How this has been used for the care of patients with colorectal cancer, the main thing that we people have used it for across all stages of colorectal cancer is detecting whether or not a patient has occult metastatic disease after completion of intended oncologic therapy. And the term for that, if detected, is minimal residual disease. So as you can imagine, a particular conundrum for oncologists and surgical oncologists alike is trying to determine who may benefit from the use of chemotherapy after curative intent surgery, particularly for patients with stage 2 and 3 colon cancer. And the risk factors for recurrence, i.e. those factors that are associated with potentially having occult metastatic disease, are pretty vague and are clinical factors that have been used to guide treatment of patients with chemotherapy. But more and more, using the detection of ctDNA has been shown to direct the use of chemotherapy for these patients, and that's for patients with minimal residual disease. We've extended that to patients with colorectal liver metastases, but essentially it's the first time in quite a while that we've had a very sensitive, or at least as sensitive as we can get, marker of occult metastatic disease for these patients.
Thanks again, Dr. Newhook. I think that's pretty comprehensive and gives really anyone a good idea of what ctDNA is and its role in the management of colorectal liver metastasis. Dr. Vautet, I just have one quick question for you before we jump to the articles. I know right now we use CEA and imaging as our current modalities for screening of patients and for detection of risk in terms of recurrence, survival. So why the need then for ctDNA if we have these other things that we already use in our surveillance program?
So thank you very much for having me again for this new episode of Behind the Knife. It's always a pleasure to discuss surgical oncology and particularly colorectal cancer, which is so prevalent, particularly in young patients. So ctDNA, in fact, has revolutionized the field and the way, in fact, we practice oncology, at least in at our institution. It's really part of precision oncology. And as we, you know, we've seen the development of precision oncology with targeted therapy, with better diagnosis. Now we have a new dimension. It's a diagnostic dimension. We can detect cancer very, very early in patients in the blood, and make decisions, sometimes important decisions. As you mentioned, CEA has been there for years and did not really help us a whole lot, except that when there was a high CEA, we knew that the patient had cancer. But here we are really advancing the diagnosis in terms of, yes, no, there is cancer circulating, so this patient has cancer. The sensitivity of the ctDNA is good, is high, but the specificity is almost 100%. So there is really virtually no false positives. So when we have a positive ctDNA, we really assure that the patient has cancer. And in addition to these yes, no, you can have a mutational profile that's associated with it. And it tells you, you know, well, this is the mutational profile of colorectal cancer. Some patients have had several cancers. We've had example in our clinic and recur. And instead of doing a biopsy, we draw blood. And recently we had a patient with a history of melanoma and colorectal cancer and a small lung metastasis, which are very difficult to biopsy. And we did the ctDNA and we were able to show that this patient was recurring from melanoma and not from colorectal cancer. It is adding a dimension to the accuracy of the imaging because in many patients, we have some early diagnosis of recurrence, but not certain small new peritoneal lesion, a small new liver lesion, small lung nodule. Is it cancer? Is it recurring colorectal cancer? And doing the ctDNA, we are ahead of the diagnostic curve, in fact. So in this regard, I think it's better than the PET scan. Before the PET scan, we can make a diagnosis of recurrent cancer and much more accurately than the CEA. So it's revolutionized the approach to patients with colorectal cancer, and we are very pleased with the use of the ctDNA now in our practice. Of course, it introduces a bit of anxiety, obviously, because you make an earlier diagnosis. So that's going to be the next thing we're going to have to identify. How can we build on this and not make it only a tool for an earlier diagnosis, but how we use it to the advantage of the patient? And that's less clear actually today.
Thank you both again for that great summary. And so just for the listeners, basically what we're trying to tell you is that there is a role for imaging in surveillance and detection of disease. There is a role for CEA in imaging and surveillance and detection of disease. But ctDNA presents a new tool that's very precise and very dynamic, and it can offer a new dimension, as Dr. Vautey is saying, in terms of cancer care, especially for colorectal liver mets. With that being said, we're going to jump into a few articles. First article we're going to talk about was published in 2023, and it's titled Prospective Study of Perioperative Circulating Tumor DNA Dynamics in patients undergoing hepatectomy for colorectal liver metastasis. And so essentially, this was a study of patients who were candidates for curative intent hepatectomy, and they were prospectively enrolled in this study in which blood samples for ctDNA analysis were collected at study enrollment and after both the colorectal primary and liver metastasis had been resected, regardless of the sequence. And the study ultimately consisted of 48 patients, 15 were ctDNA positive, pre- and postoperatively, 19 patients had what we call molecular disease clearance, meaning they were ctDNA positive preoperatively, but ctDNA negative postoperatively. 11 had no ctDNA detection perioperatively, meaning they were ctDNA negative pre- and post-op, and three were ctDNA negative pre-op, but ctDNA positive post-op. And what we found is that pre-op ctDNA detection was not associated with recurrence-free survival or overall survival, but post-op ctDNA detection was associated with both of these endpoints. The 11 patients with no periop ctDNA detection and the 19 with disease clearance had longer survival than the 15 patients with ctDNA detection pre- and post-op. And on a multivariable analysis, having no periop ctDNA detection or having molecular disease clearance post-operatively were both associated with improved recurrence-free survival. So Dr. Nuk, I want to ask you, what should our listeners and readers of the article take away from these results?
Well, thanks for highlighting this article. It was actually our second publication on ctDNA from our group, but one of the earliest papers in this burgeoning field looking at the concept of ctDNA and its impact on outcomes, particularly, again, solidifying the concept of minimal residual disease in at least patients with resectable stage 4 disease. Again, nicely summarized results there, Anish, for the paper, but essentially there's a couple key things here. One is, as you mentioned, we did not find a prognostic association between preoperative ctDNA detection and either recurrence-free or overall survival in these patients who are undergoing curative intent hepatectomy for colorectal liver metastases. And the main reason why that is, I suspect, is because just as something to discuss here, is that most of these patients had preoperative chemotherapy, over 90% of them in the study. So within the confines of our prospective study, we did not have access to pre-treatment, treatment-naive blood to sample the ctDNA to know what the true status at diagnosis was. And that's unfortunately just because of our practice pattern as being a referral center. A lot of patients have come to us already with a diagnosis, maybe even have started chemotherapy, for example. So ability to have a treatment-naive time point in this study, we were not unable to do that. That being said, it's probably a very good prognostic factor to have clearance of ctDNA in the preoperative setting to be negative. And we found that patients who had undetectable ctDNA both pre- and postoperatively fared the absolute best, did very, very well. Clearly a marker of disease biology. However, patients who had detectable ctDNA after curative intent hepatectomy had very poor results with a median recurrence-free survival of only about 7 months. So these patients who have ctDNA have minimal residual disease, which is strongly associated with not only recurrence, but early recurrence. These patients essentially still have cancer. Beyond a biomarker, in my mind, this is just preclinical, micrometastatic, or occult metastatic disease. On the flip side, patients who were positive pre-surgery and were either rendered negative with surgery or were negative the whole time, as I said, fared very well. And there was no difference in recurrence-free or overall survival between whether or not patients were negative the whole time or had ctDNA cleared by surgery. So really that defines three populations here that are important and also really shows the impact that curative intent hepatectomy can have for patients who are able to undergo a molecularly negative resection.
Thank you, Dr. Nuk. That was great clarification. So Dr. Bote, I actually just have, one question, or two actually. One, if you had anything to add to Dr. Nuk's points. And two, looking at these results, what would you say maybe to a physician or patient who might ask, well, why do I need to get both the pre-op and the post-op ctDNA analysis done when it was only the post-op ctDNA analysis that had any prognostic value in the study? So what would you say to a provider or a patient who asked that question?
Well, I think this study was a study based on a relatively small number of patients and the patients who were ctDNA negative after surgery and remained negative after surgery represent a small number. So I think if we had probably larger number, we might see a significance in this regard. And again, we don't have the dynamics of that ctDNA prior to surgery because some of these patients may, are most likely patients who had good response to preoperative chemotherapy, hence their ctDNA negative right prior to surgery. So I think what we might see. And again, it's a hypothesis, but a probable hypothesis that these patients who respond well to chemotherapy prior to surgery have a better prognosis too. So this could also be a marker of good prognosis prior to surgery.
Just to add one more little thing that I just thought of, I apologize. In the summary, that's a very interesting part of this paper, is that the results of the CTD analysis were not available to providers as they were caring for these patients. It was essentially a prospectively collected but batched analysis of their ctDNA from a very early time period compared to most of the literature. But when you look at what treatment patients in this study ended up undergoing, there was some, you could detect what the providers were trying to do. And I say providers, I mean the surgeons and the medical oncologists, trying to use what I believe is likely vague clinical data to direct who could potentially benefit from further chemotherapy after surgery. So of the patients who ended up being ctDNA positive after surgery, having MRD, over 80% of them went on to continue with postoperative chemotherapy and at least doublet chemotherapy, so strong chemo. But interestingly, it was 40% of patients who were ctDNA negative who went on to continue with chemotherapy after surgery. And of that population, it was mostly some sort of de-escalation to single agent chemotherapy, even in that 40%. So the teams were trying to offer a personalized approach to the perioperative chemotherapy paradigm, but only using clinical data, not allowing to have the ctDNA. So the patients who were negative ended up having a significantly improved oncologic outcome despite undergoing a significantly less rigorous or sometimes no chemotherapy at all following hepatectomy.
Very interesting point. I think something that we'll actually come back to later. But we're going to discuss an article that's titled "The Effect of Co-Mutation of RAS and TP53 on Postoperative ctDNA Detection and Early Recurrence After Hepatectomy for Colorectal Liver Metastasis." And so this article is a retrospective analysis of patients who underwent curative intent hepatectomy with no extrahepatic disease and had a ctDNA analysis within 180 days after surgery. And patients were excluded if they had evidence of residual disease or their primary colorectal malignancy in place at the time of ctDNA analysis, or if they started adjuvant chemo before the ctDNA was collected. And so the study ultimately consisted of 105 patients, 32 or 30% of whom were ctDNA positive postoperatively. And what was found was that having multiple liver metastasis and a somatic RAS TP53 co-mutation were independently associated with positive post-op ctDNA. Also, patients who were ctDNA positive had significantly worse recurrence-free survival, 6.3 months compared to 12.2 in those who were ctDNA negative, and factors independently associated with recurrence-free survival included extrahepatic disease and a positive post-op ctDNA. Also, 94% of patients who were ctDNA post-operatively suffered recurrence within 1 year of resection, which is that early recurrence that Dr. Newhook alluded to before. And a positive post-op ctDNA was the only factor independently associated with early recurrence after hepatectomy. So Dr. Newhook, I'm going to turn it back to you and ask you to kind of break down these results for our listeners once again.
So this is actually this paper, Dr. Nishioka from Journal of American College of Surgeons, was the natural next step, the extension from our Annals of Surgery paper. And so we were able to double the size of the cohort, actually more than double the size of the cohort of patients who underwent prospective collection, ctDNA. And really, we're trying to answer one big question here, which is, if ctDNA positivity, minimal residual disease, is so bad after curative intent hepatectomy, which we showed in our last paper, and there were other papers at the same time being published from other groups corroborating that, who is at high risk for having ctDNA detection after surgery? Who are the patients who are likely to have minimal residual disease? Because you can imagine why that's important, right? We're talking to patients about whether surgery is going to make sense. What's their return on investment going to be? Who has high-risk disease? Who has high risk for early recurrence? Really nice to know that preoperatively, right? Particularly as we we'll likely talk later about where this field is going and how we can use ctDNA in novel ways. So very simply, who's at risk for MRD? So essentially, we looked at all the factors that, that we were able to collect on these patients, and we found that having multiple liver tumors, obviously, a burden of disease factor, but also, interestingly enough, having a somatic mutation of profile such as RAS and TP53 are the only factors that are associated with postoperative ctDNA detection. So why is that? Well, because these are factors that are, before ctDNA, have been shown to be associated with early recurrence and occult metastatic disease. These are patients who are at high risk for having disease that we cannot see, right? And then further from there, our endpoint was recurrence within 12 months, so early recurrence. And the only factor that was independently associated with a recurrence within 12 months was having ctDNA positivity. So by natural extension, patients with a RAS and TP53 co-mutation or having multiple tumors are clearly at much higher risk for having MRD and recurring within 12 months. And the 30,000-foot view from this paper beyond just identifying patients at high risk for MRD also highlights the importance and help that both sampling of circulating mutational profiles and somatic mutational profiles are to managing these patients and how it can augment our prognostication and hopefully in the future treatment strategies and selection for patients able to undergo surgery for colorectal liver mets.
Well, thank you, Dr. Newhook. And I like your point where you say that, you know, this paper is not necessarily about saying, oh, ctDNA is better than, you know, your mutational profile, like somatic mutational profiling. It's not one or the other. They both go together. And that's what we want listeners and readers of the paper to realize, that ctDNA, like Dr. Bote has said before, is an added tool along with mutational profiling in terms of precision medicine and getting a better understanding of tumor biology. Dr. Bote, do you have anything you want to add about this paper specifically?
No, I think this paper shows that clearly the ctDNA is superior in terms of prognosis, but it ties up what we have published before regarding the mutations and particularly the co-mutation RAS TP53, which is so important because RAS only does not necessarily determine the prognosis. In fact, it has to be tied with the TP53 mutation. So I think it's the next step in the care of these patients, and it's going to be very critical in the future since we're looking in colorectal liver metastasis at new avenues for treatment, such as transplantation for colorectal liver metastasis. How are we going to evaluate these patients before transplantation and make decisions, in fact? And we clearly see two types of patients here, those who have this ctDNA, which is still there in the blood, might still be there in spite of chemotherapy, because you know, there may be poor response, and we'll be able to evaluate this patient real time rather than doing an imaging and a CAT scan and wait for shrinkage of the tumor or wait for less uptake on PET scan. We have immediately with the ctDNA a sense for response, and a negative ctDNA on the therapy, I think, will be very important in determining whether these patients can be candidate for transplantation. I think we are in a new era, we're going to be able also to simplify the care of our patients by using something that will that is replacing the biopsy, essentially. We don't have to go to interventional radiology and do a biopsy when there is a recurrence. We know where we are. We don't need to do extensive imaging, MRI or PET scan. We have a ctDNA that's right there. And then again, with the mutational profile of the ctDNAs, because again, it's not a yes or no. We have all the mutations circulating in the blood, including the less common mutations, rare mutations such as SMAT4, which has a bad prognosis, FBXW7, and we're going to see BRAF, BRAF V600. We have that right there. We go and get the white count, the liver function test, and you get the ctDNA and you have a mutational profile. So it's really an advance here, a tremendous advance, and we're using it in our clinic.
Thank you for that breakdown, Dr. Bote. I especially appreciate your point about transplantation and just overall discussing how, you know, ctDNA, and a big thing that I think we want our listeners to take out of this is that part of the reason ctDNA is so useful is that it can essentially clue you in if there's disease present, if there's MRD present before it appears on CT imaging, which at that point, sometimes, especially for patients who have very florid recurrence, it might be too late to do something for them other than maybe systemic treatments. It's very important that our listeners understand that. And Dr. Nuke, so Dr. Boutte's talked about some ways that, you know, we can use ctDNA in the future management of colorectal liver mets. One thing that you kind of alluded to when we talked about the first paper is potentially the use of ctDNA to maybe direct adjuvant treatment of patients who undergo resection. Could you comment on that maybe and how that could be a future use of ctDNA for colorectal liver metastasis?
Yeah, so overall, even beyond the debate about the applicability and use of ctDNA in the care of this patient, one of the longest running debates for some time now is the use of chemotherapy for the treatment of patients with colorectal liver metastases. And, you know, I, as a younger practitioner compared to Dr. Boutte, have learned about this, but Dr. Boutte has lived it. But in general, there's the large clinical trials investigating the use of chemotherapy for patients with colorectal liver metastases have not proven to show a survival benefit. And yet, a lot of us still believe that chemotherapy has a strong and important role in the management of patients with colorectal liver metastases. My and our group's main hypothesis is that a lot of the data that has not supported the use of chemotherapy is because it's like, in my opinion, a basket trial that's plagued the management of patients with sarcoma for a long time, is they include many different histologies in their trials. Well, as we know, all patients with colorectal liver metastases have different mutational profiles, different clinical parameters, a lot of opportunities to have a heterogeneous treatment group that may not allow you to see a really good signal. In my hypothesis is that in practice of a perioperative chemotherapy approach for patients with this disease, there's the opportunity to be even more precise and more personalized. Because as we hope we've demonstrated with our two papers that we discussed today, and there's multiple other papers by really great groups that maybe we can attach in the show notes that bolster this, is that patients who do not have ctDNA detected after chemotherapy are at low risk for at least early recurrence, or this lowest risk that we can predict overall they will recur at all. It's about 20 to 25% overall. So does continuing strong chemotherapy after surgery really going to help these patients who are at the lowest risk for recurrence? Our hypothesis is not. And so there's an opportunity to chip away the all-or-nothing approach of perioperative chemotherapy and offer a very personalized, risk-stratified approach to chemotherapy, at least in the adjuvant setting. Then we'll see where we go from there. Work from the back, backwards to frontwards in terms of dissecting and creating a more personalized approach for these patients. So we've opened a trial here that we're about halfway through using a risk-stratified approach to postoperative chemotherapy for patients who underwent at least four cycles of preoperative doublet chemotherapy or greater and undergo curative intent hepatectomy. And we're using their ctDNA after surgery to direct at least how they start. So if they have detectable ctDNA, they usually have to start with at least doublet chemotherapy again and continue from there. There's an important point I'll get to here in 1 second about them. We're really focusing on patients who are ctDNA negative. If patients are ctDNA negative after curative intent hepatectomy, they de-escalate either to single agent Xeloda, 5-FU, or surveillance. And that's a discussion amongst the provider teams. And I'll tell you that most people are opting for surveillance. Primary endpoint in this study is 12-month recurrence-free survival, because as we mentioned, that is the endpoint that we've used in other studies for using this biomarker. We expect to find that patients who are ctDNA negative have similar, or actually it might end up being improved, a recurrence-free survival compared to historical controls. It may allow us to treat these patients with ctDNA negative in a personalized approach. The point I wanted to make about the patients that are ctDNA positive after surgery, another burgeoning area of trial design for patients with colorectal cancer here are patients who have minimal residual disease. There's the hypothesis that these patients have occult or micrometastatic disease, may have a different phase of cancer compared to micrometastatic disease, and may be more vulnerable to novel therapeutic strategies, whether that be various immunotherapy-based approach, immune cell manipulation, CAR-T, whatever it may be. There are trials popping up all around the world to try to treat micrometastatic disease as defined by ctDNA positivity. This is increasingly becoming an entry point to clinical trials that we really need to focus on. Because if we're able to clear people's ctDNA after surgery without the development of macrometastatic disease, we may end up curing more people. So I think that this is a particularly important point to make about the novel use of ctDNA is defining a new population study in the context of novel clinical trials.
Well, thanks for that, Dr. Neuhuken. It kind of brings us back to our theme, and I think a big theme in cancer care these days is where it comes down to like personalized, precise care, and ctDNA being such a key tool for that, especially in terms of understanding tumor biology to the best of our ability. Dr. Vautier, do you have anything to add?
I think this discussion is really enlightening for all of us because it really shows that a new modality helps us change our practice and change our treatment approaches. And with the angle here, the angle of new therapy, you know, it's like a wedge for a new therapy, and that's fantastic. And as much as we believe in the pre-op chemotherapy in patients with colorectal liver metastasis for a lot of reasons, for a reason that we can evaluate the biology while we treat, we can have repeat imaging with the benefit also of several readings and quality imaging, which you don't have if you do surgery upfront. As much as we believe in the core approach of pre-op chemotherapy followed by surgery, surgical resection or colorectal liver metastasis, and as much as we really are vacillating in terms of the post-op treatment, and I think it's apparent that we are giving too much chemotherapy in some of these patients. They shouldn't receive it. So it's really very valuable not to have a tool to stratify these patients in two groups. Should we treat them the same way? No, we shouldn't. We should de-escalate. And that goes along what has been done in adjuvant therapy for primary colorectal cancer with the IDEA trial, whether we should use 6 months or 3 months. And I think that's the future. It's, again, personalized and identify subsets of patients with colorectal cancer and subsets of patients with metastatic colorectal cancer.
Thank you both for this great discussion. We're going to leave our listeners with some key takeaway points. The first is that ctDNA is the portion of cell-free DNA secreted or released into the bloodstream by tumor cells, and it's emerged as a novel biomarker for detecting minimal residual disease, or MRD, for patients with colorectal cancer, including those with metastatic disease, such as liver metastasis. And oftentimes, it can clue you into the evidence of disease prior to its appearance on imaging. And for certain patients, it may obviate the need for biopsy, as Dr. Vautier gave an example earlier. Post-op ctDNA detection and positivity is associated with worse recurrence-free survival and increased risk for early disease recurrence within 1 year after hepatectomy for liver metastasis. There is a complementary effect of ctDNA analysis and tumor mutational profiling when it comes to prognostication in these patients. The combination of the two allows for better prognostication compared to mutational profiling alone and even ctDNA analysis alone. And last, peri-op ctDNA analysis allows for a better stratification of recurrence than pre-op analysis alone, as patients who have positive ctDNA pre-op but negative ctDNA post-op, or those who have disease clearance, are shown to have significantly improved outcomes compared to those who are ctDNA positive pre- and post-op. Once again, thank you both for this time. It was a great discussion, and I've learned a bunch. I hope our listeners can say the same as well. And as always, dominate the day.
Be sure to check out our website at www.behindtheknife.org for more great content. You can also follow us on Twitter at Behind the Knife and Instagram at Behind the Knife Podcast. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a review. Content produced by Behind the Knife is intended for health professionals and is for educational purposes only. We do not diagnose, treat, or offer patient-specific advice. Thank you for listening.
Until next time, dominate the day.